Well, good morning to you all. It's quite a nice day here in Wales, and as has already been mentioned, I think we're a little bit envious of those in the Philippines and in Australia who have already begun to refresh themselves. But in introducing the offering today, I would like to pose a couple of questions. I wonder how many of us can remember where we were on this day 34 years ago? And better still, how many of us can remember what we were thinking 34 years ago? Well, I remember awaking that morning to hear the news on the radio that the Middle East was in flames again. Israel had been attacked by her neighbours, Egypt, Syria and Jordan. And that morning in 1973 happened to be the 6th of October. It became known as the Yom Kippur War in the Western circles, but in Arabic circles it became known as the Ramadan War, because it was, quote, holy time to both the Jews and to the Islamic people. Initially, the Israelis were in disarray, having been taken completely by surprise. However, 18 days later, Israeli forces were within 20 miles of the city of Damascus, and in Egypt had established a bridgehead west of the Suez Canal. So they had made quite a remarkable recovery. The Middle Eastern state that is today known as Israel has only existed since 1948, and even then it was born in the pangs of war. Prior to that, there had been a mandated territory to Britain known as Palestine. Since 1948, one Israeli has stated that there had been 40 years of war. But quite frankly, it'd be closer to the truth to say there had been nearly 60 years of war. Up until now, the militant Middle Eastern states have been unable to destroy the state of Israel. And as I mentioned before, the Islamic overseers of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem are presently using bulldozers and excavators to rip up the surface of the Temple Mount to obliterate any traces of Jewish occupation of the Temple Mount. Now, it's a time when one could say that there are definitely devilish or demonic forces at work on the earth today. It may be partisan to say that one side is relatively truthful whilst the other side is not, but it does appear that, you know, we hear a lot from both sides, and one side is definitely biased against the truth. If we were to look at the book of Revelation, we would find that in Revelation that these days are described as a time when the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, the devil, who deceives the whole world. That is in Revelation chapter 12. But I'd like you to turn with me to the Gospel of John in chapter 8. And in this particular passage, the Apostle John records the words of Jesus as he was addressing the Pharisees at that time. And he was addressing the Pharisees, and he was describing the attitudes which they had, and the attitude of Satan, and the attitudes that he inspires. If we read in John chapter 8 and verse 44, we read the following. Jesus said, "You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." As I said, the Middle East is a cauldron of war, and the people there, they are deceived. And they're not only deceived, but I mean, you look at the Middle East and you see slaughter and you see war. It is a time when the whole attitudes of Satan are not concentrated in that area only, but they are so very, very apparent in that area. And what, may you ask, has this to do with the introduction of the offering today? Well, during the years that Mr. Armstrong was at the helm of the Church of God, he showed that these days are a reminder of the plan of God. Mr. Armstrong travelled the world. He travelled to world leaders, and he explained to them the plan of God in words that they would understand, not in the words of Scripture, but in the words that they could understand and take to heart. And he showed that, you know, mankind was reaching the end of its tether. Now, that effort during Mr. Armstrong's time cost a great deal of money. At that time, there was a huge reservoir of people supporting the work. And the annual turnover of the Church of God at that time was something to the order of $250 million annually. Today, God's people are scattered. And there are small groups here and there, attempting to hold on to the faith that was once delivered. We are also a small fellowship, and we are committed to the same as Mr. Armstrong, to make the Word of God available to all of mankind, to all who come to seek it. The main thrusts are to reach out to those that God is calling at this time, and in whatever way we can, to guide those who are lost sheep back to the truth that was once delivered, and also to feed the flock food in due season. Now, that effort also requires a degree of funding. In comparison to the work under Mr. Armstrong, the Church of God in Wales is operating on a shoestring. A small number of brethren here in the British Isles, one or two in Europe, brethren in East and West Africa, and also in South Africa. There are brethren in South America, Australia, the Philippines, and a growing contingent in the United States and in Canada. But by comparison, a minuscule work. But we're still trying to reach out to the world, and we're reaching out to the world via the internet. And that work is magnified by the technological innovations which have been made available to us at this end time. It is enabling the messages which God is inspiring to go out to the whole of this globe. The Church of God in Wales is trying to make the information available to all and any who will listen. Today we are assembled in accordance with the commandment of God, in a place where God has put his name. And I'd like you to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 16. And in this passage, which is so often read on these days, we find a commandment to gather together in solemn convocation, and also to give an offering which reflects the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. In Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 16, we read the following. 3 times in a year shall all your males appear before the Eternal your God in the place which he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Eternal empty, or, as many will say, empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, this is verse 17, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Eternal your God, which he has given you. And then, in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 27 and 28, and I'm sure that Mr. Armstrong's sermon this day will give the meaning of this day shortly. Even though the world at large has failed to recognise the importance of this day, we know that the early first century church of Christians actually observed this day. They may not have called it Yom Kippur, but they certainly observed the Day of Atonement. As already mentioned, this day pictures the binding of Satan for 1,000 years, a time when he would be put away. And during this time, he just will not be around to mislead anyone. There won't be any more threats of a war to end all wars, or any more insane dictators arising, ranting and raving about this or that, taking the nations to war. There would just be none of that, because the inspiration behind all of that will have been removed. And in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 26 and 27, read the following. And the Eternal spoke unto Moses, saying, Also on the tenth day of this seventh month there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Eternal. And then verse 28, And you shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Eternal your God. It is our goal to be at one with God, to be in total unity with God. It is a day reflecting part of the plan of God when Satan will have been removed and bound for 1,000 years. We will now be taking up the offering, and while this is being done, we will have a vocal offering from Mrs. Paula Henderson, who will sing from Psalm 119, Ain, which is verses 121 to 128, I have done judgment and justice and more.